Hello everyone out there, welcome to another episode of Two Asian Dudes Talking. You are here, Andrew and myself, Derek. And today we're going to have an interesting topic, not a topic, really a question. What we're trying to dissect and share a personal view and story to answer that question for you. The question is, does hard work really pave the way?
That's a big question, right? Yeah, so our discussion today will focus around that. Does hard work really pave the way? And I think everybody either immediately has a answer or not. But even before you begin to discuss, does hard work really pave the way? It's so broad, but I think we have to narrow down. What does that question even mean?
Right. I think the first thing we need to do is sort of identify, what do you mean by hard work?
Right.
So let's just nail that down. Andrew, what is hard work?
So I think hard work, obviously hard work can be any type of work, right? Whether it's intellectual, physical, or whatnot. But to me, I think hard work means that you're putting in effort. It's measured by the amount of internal effort, right? How much are you chasing after that goal? So if it's simply studying math or English or science, or even just studying anything, it's the time you spent mentally absorbing the information. If you're training to be an athlete and your goal is to be an Olympic gold medalist, that hard work is physical, right? Running a lot and running, jumping, exercising, etc. If it's going to be an actor is your goal, then that hard work is actually going into auditions, making connections, going to the right parties, meeting the right people. As far as my definition goes, it's all internal effort that you're putting forth.
I have a slightly different take on that, but very similar. So the way that I view hard work, obviously is not, like you say, not blue collar work. My definition of hard work is reprioritizing tasks. So in your example, wanting to be in the Olympics, so you spend time training versus spending that time with your friends at the bar, with your family. So you spend your weekends running the track rather than watching football game, right? So you prioritize that above your fun stuff. So usually what you want to do, human nature, you want to do fun stuff. You want to drink, watch TV, sit on the couch, do nothing, right? But no.
I love doing nothing.
Yeah, that's my number one thing. But hard work is doing the stuff that you don't like.
Well, not necessarily that you don't like, but doing things that you know will help you reach.
Well, let me put it this way. Sacrificing the stuff that you like to do. So you constantly prioritize a task that you want to achieve over the task that you will have a lot of self-fulfillment on.
Right.
So that's why I say hard work means sacrificing things that you like to do, or sacrificing things you like to eat if you want to go on a diet, and put that task as the top.
Right.
Put your family behind, put your friends behind. I'm gonna run 5 miles so I could meet that challenge goal to myself.
Right. So that's at least our definition of hard work. Now, here's the much more difficult to nail down part of that question. Does hard work pave the way? What exactly is pave the way?
So that depends on what you're working toward at, right?
Exactly. So here, the main question really is, what are you working toward? I guess paving the way is paving the way to your success, right?
Right. And then you have to define what is success.
What is success? That's the question. Right. How do you define success? For a lot of people, it's very different things, but I think in many instances, success is really a removal of constraints. Here's what I mean by that. It's basically three constraints, right? Either financially, you're completely removing that financial constraint, meaning whatever you want to buy, you can buy. However you want to use the money, you can use it. You don't have to worry about not having enough.
So one way to identify success is that you don't have financial constraint.
Right.
right?
Second, I think second type of success is to have social well-being or social reverence. Like a lot of movie stars or celebrities, they're idolized by people. And a lot of people see that as a type of success where everybody...
Being popular,
being extremely popular.
Being well-known.
Right. You know, you've had fans who will literally give up their lives for you, even though they don't really know you all that well.
So is that popularity or is that influence?
I think it's both, because if you're not popular, I doubt you can have influence, right? I think it's tied in together.
So it's sort of like influence, power, would that be?
Yeah, it's a social influence, the ability to influence the people around you. That's sort of popularity, that's sort of reverence by your social group.
Okay, so yeah, so I get that. So social influence to the ability where you have certain control
over
your followers.
Yeah, exactly. See, I think
for lack of a better term,
for some people, that is also success, right? Third one, the only one I think of, that comes to mind now for the third type is removing physical constraints. That means I'm healthy, and both physically and mentally, so I'm not bogged down by worries of illness. So any type of these success is removing constraints, and that allows me freedom to do whatever I want, whether it's financial freedom, physical freedom, or social freedom, because I can, go to any place and be well-known and be integrated into that society without having to worry about anything. That is my idea of the type of success that I've seen.
Right, so the constraint about physical, right?
Right.
I think I could definitely relate to first two constraints. Third one,
mainly because I see it as something that, athletes, right? They work to better their body. Well, most people do the same thing. They want to have a more fit body. They want to go on a diet. They want to be able to jump higher, run faster. They want to be physically stronger, right? They don't want to have any mental issues as well. So if you're basically, it's like most things, most parents who say, I want my, the best things I want for my kids is that they're healthy and happy.
Right.
Right. So that's physical, that they're healthy and happy.
Right.
Right. How you achieve that health and happiness, I don't know.
I kind of agree with that, but when your third constraint rely a lot on your first two constraints, right? Because you
does
can,
it?
Yeah, it does. It does. It? Yeah, look, you could be perfectly healthy, go and do what you're doing, fit body, but let's say you have a lot of debt, so you're financially unable to be independent.
Right.
So that would create stress, right? So physically you're fine, mentally you might have a lot of stress. You live paycheck by paycheck, rent is due. So I guess that's part of your mental.
Yeah, that's part of the mental, but I think I see physical as being completely separate on its own, because no matter what you do, and no matter how much money you have, you could be really unhealthy and, facing death, within a couple of years.
Right.
Or even no matter how much money you have, you're the really physically fit and can travel a lot, can do all sorts of physical activities and you're into your 80s and you're still very, active, pursuing a very active lifestyle. So I think I think money is definitely a part of everything else, just like, social plays a part in within money. Just like all three constraints kind of touch on each other, but I still see physical as being separate, because there's a lot of things out of your control. No matter whether you have money or you have a social group that supports you, physical health is kind of out of your hands in many ways.
I like the way that you dissect success that way. Right. And so my definition when I was looking at this topic was like, look, hey, it's hard to define success. Basically the success is defined where you are happy or unhappy with the outcome, right? So that was my definition of, okay, are you success? So you depend what the task is. You go through the process of trying to achieve your goal, and then ultimately the outcome, whether you're happy or you're not, so success or not success. But having heard your way of, it's like a level deeper dive, it's actually, I like your definition. You know, it's more thoughtful than whether you apply something as happy or unhappy, because right now you have a substance. Okay, there's just, this is the reason why. Wealth, influence, right, or health.
Because it's I think it's cutting everything down to the most basic, right? The most basic description of success, at least in my mind. So with that, yeah, if that's the definition we're going with, do you think it's true? Hard work paves the way to success. Do you think hard work will lead you to that successful path, any one of those three, or any other type of success?
So thanks for framing that. And having framed what we just framed out, would hard work, would sacrifice pave the way to get, you know, or pave the way to remove some of the constraint that, right, you talked about? My answer would say no.
Really?
No. Okay. But without hard work, you wouldn't be able to achieve. To a certain level, you have to have some luck along the way to get to the point where you could have some of these constraints removed, right? Achieve success, pave the path. So I will give an example. So when I was a sixth grader, you know, it was a sixth grade graduation. I don't know if I told a story for our audience before, but I think I definitely told a story to you. So I was preparing for a speech in front of, you know, the graduating class. My job was to, you know, speak in my native tongue, Cantonese. I believe it was Cantonese. You know, basically thanking the teacher, thanking the staff. You know, there's a bright future in front of us. Memorize that speech, speak it in front of the graduation class. I prepared for it. I would say I wrote it with the teacher. We practiced it in class. I practiced it at night. I memorized it the night, like a couple of nights before.
You definitely say you worked hard on this speech.
Oh yes, I would definitely say that. I would give up playing time, playing game, whatever it is, to make sure I could do well in the speech. Well, the day comes, I figure I'm ready, right? I go on stage, and that is the first time in my life where I saw, I experienced stage fright. In front of it, I totally blanked out, right? And I didn't
you
know.
You didn't have the sheet in front of you, or hadn't you memorized it?
I haven't memorized it, I have it in my pocket. That's a smart thing I did.
Okay.
So that's a smart thing, I have it in my pocket, but I got in front of it and I was blank. My face started turning red, and I was like, I don't know what to do. And then finally, I remember to pull out that sheet from my pocket and start reading it. But as I was reading it, even though those words are sort of ingrained in my mind, my voice was very, very shaky and I could hear myself. It was not a good speech. Looking back at it, I've prepared hard for it. Did I really, you know, In our definition of outcome, did I really remove the constraint of like influence or social,
right.
Yeah. Social influence? No, that constraint has not been removed.
Right.
Hard work paved the way in that particular situation. I think if I work hard on it, it will, but somehow I got the stage fright.
Because you can argue, let me rephrase this. If you could argue that had you spent more time maybe doing the actual speech and got a chance to do multiple speeches in front of the class, you wouldn't have had that stage fright. You only had the stage fright because it was your first time.
In front of the whole graduating class.
Yeah, in front of the whole school, in front of the whole class. So if you had a chance to have done that multiple times, maybe that definitely wouldn't have happened.
That definitely would not have happened, I would say, if I have had the practice in front of an audience multiple times. I did not have that opportunity. So would that be hard work?
Well, yeah, because you know, when we were first talking about this topic and I was thinking about it, it always occurs to me, does hard work pave the way? And I always come back to hard work, right? You first have to know what is hard work, which we just defined, but also which type of hard work will give you the most benefit towards that success.
Working smart.
Exactly, working smart, right? So people always say, hey, work smarter, not harder. So it's like if you want to be a computer programmer, you're not going to spend the majority of your time studying music. That's just, you know, doesn't make sense. Just as maybe memorizing that speech and reading it over and over and studying with the teacher wasn't actually what you needed the most versus being able to stand in front of a large group
and
repeating that speech would have been the best way to work hard at it, which is, I think, one of the main problems with this phrase that hard work paves the way,
right,
is defining the proper hard work that will give you the most success.
Right. So the lesson there is really, I was working hard, but working dumb.
Not really dumb, and I think, you know, it's definitely not dumb because you did all the prep work that you could do. You can't possibly ask all the graduating class to stand in front of you every day and let you practice. That's not, you know, feasible. But it's really clarifying what hard work is. And I think that's one of the main issues that separates the difference between working hard to pave the way in school setting versus working hard and paving the way in actual adult life, you know, in employment or life in general.
Right.
Because that's where I you know, my answer to that question, you know, does hard work pave the way, is maybe. Depending on the scenario, right? Because in school, you want success? Easy. I'll tell you exactly how you get success.
I would agree with that. I think in school, it's easier to achieve success.
Yeah. Why? Because it's all well defined, right? You want success? Memorize all these words and spell them out during the spelling test.
Exactly.
Or memorize these math principles and learn how to do math. And if you get all the questions that I'm going to tell you about correct, you just succeeded and you get an A.
Exactly.
Every step and success is defined exactly. And you know what will get... The great thing about school is you know not only how you reach success, you even know when you reach minor success because you get a B instead of an A. Right?
Right.
Everything is well defined by percentage and you know exactly what you have to do. So hard work there, I think, yeah, it will pave the way to success.
Okay, in what scenario, and obviously my example, you know, taught us a lesson, but in what example would hard work not pave the way?
See, now there I can give you a lot of examples.
So in a way to say it is that you got lucky, right?
Right. And here's why that happens, I think. And I can tell you this mainly because when I look back through my high school and college careers, I can definitely note and remember instances where I plain got lucky. That I passed the class, that I got an A by just sheer luck. Right. So here I got how it goes. Let me give the more basic example in my first year in college. Freshman year. I mentioned this before in other episodes. I really didn't like college, you know, stuck in the classroom and listening to the same boring things over and over again. I didn't enjoy it. And my first year in college, I signed up for some basic classes. One of them was a philosophy class, which I thought I would enjoy, but it turned out the instructor was really boring and it didn't...
Philosophy is circular reference. It's kind of...
Yeah, but I thought I would enjoy that because I like philosophy, just thinking about, you know, things in general, logic in itself. So because I didn't enjoy it and I didn't enjoy college at all to begin with, after attending the class for the first 2-3 months, I started skipping the classes. Like just plain don't show up to class, right? I try to show up whenever I know that there's a test.
Yep.
So I'll go in and take the test. But because I haven't been showing up, I missed a couple of the tests. And here's the worst part is, because I haven't been showing up, apparently the instructor, the professor, changed the date of the final exam. And I didn't know about it. So when I showed up for the final exam, the room was empty because they had already taken the final exam.
All right.
So basically, I had a zero for that exam. And I know I missed a couple of quizzes. So I'm thinking, holy crap, this is
you
my first year.
You flunked the class, you're done.
Yeah, my first year in college, freshman year, and I flunked the class, right? I'm just done. There's nothing else I can do. So I'm worrying about it, and the class is over, and everybody's already kind of done with their tests. And almost at the end of the school year, you're supposed to call in to the system that the university has in order to get your grade. And I was calling in and still wasn't ready yet.
Right.
And so then I then left an email to the professor and saying, can you please tell me my grade, because I know I've checked the system multiple times and I wasn't ready yet.
Did you mention anything about the exam?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't. I just assumed that it was going to be a fail, and I know I sounded pretty down, but I didn't mention that I missed that. I just said, you know, I know I missed a couple classes. That's actually told him that. So I wasn't able to check if you had revealed the grade in the class, because I checked the system, it still isn't there. So I left that email, and then I think after worrying about a week later, professor replies me back, you have an A in the class. Sorry about the system messed up and not, you know, putting it on, you know, to the system in time or whatever. And I was one shocked, completely shocked, because I know.
So clearly there's some clerical error.
There's some sort of technical
error. Someone got a fail.
Right. While I had the A.
Well, you had his or
either
her
my,
A.
My names, you know, got messed up somewhere, but you know, the system wasn't able to upgrade. So he probably had to go back to his pen and paper and then looked at the wrong place.
You know what? They probably lost your final exam. They probably thought they lost your final exam. It's like, holy crap, we lost their exam. They're gonna sue the school, and then
right.
We'll just give them an A, shut them up.
So in that instance, there was no hard work, because I completely missed the class in order to, I don't know what I was doing, probably sleeping in late and going, you know, watching TV or something. And I was worried about it. I really was worried about it.
So I would say that you are a very, very lucky person from
one
that situation.
Yeah,
and academically, I've never seen that kind of luck. I heard some crazy story, but that is pretty damn crazy. Right.
So just to balance that a bit, let me show you a halfway hard work and halfway luck bit back in junior high. So let me preface this by saying that my grade school teachers, and especially in fifth and sixth grade, were excellent teachers. They were probably two of the best teachers I've ever had.
Right.
And they taught the class very well, and they taught us even more than what they were supposed to. So we had a little advanced lesson. So some of the advanced lessons included like basic algebra or, you know, geometry, things like that. By the time I got to junior high in seventh and eighth grade, I already knew most of the stuff that the teachers were going
through,
especially in math and English. It was a pretty simple, straightforward stuff. So I did the work in the first semester, and I wrote, and especially my English teacher at the time said, wow, you're a great writer, everything else. And, you know, I kept getting A's for that first semester. But because I kept getting A's and everything was a repeat of what I learned in sixth grade, I started to slack off in the second semester. I still have the composition book, the essay book that I have for that year, for the seventh grade. And when you open it, you can literally see my essays getting shorter and shorter as time goes on, and my handwriting getting worse and worse as time goes on, because I was starting to be lazy and laid back.
Right.
And started skipping the essay assignments and whatnot. Then comes the end of second semester, so end of the school year, and the teacher's going through all the workbook, and we're supposed to turn in the workbook and have her, you know, review all of our essays and give us a grade for the class for second semester. When it's my time, she goes, oh, you know what, Andrew? I'm really running late on other grades, so I'm just gonna skip you for now, since I know you do good work and you know, you deserve an A. Hold on to your workbook, and then I'll just grade everybody else's. And that was it. Because I was actually afraid if she looked at it, she would have seen missed examples, missed essays, and much shorter essays.
So you just got lucky again.
I coasted through based on my work, not really hard work, but based on my work of the first semester.
Right.
Right, because I had established that.
You've proven yourself.
Yeah, I've proven myself during the first semester.
Right.
And so by second, she just assumed my quality of work would be the same.
And just to sidetrack a little bit, and I think that's also true in work life too.
Right.
Once you go into work environment, once you have proven yourself, you can slide and get away with stuff.
Right.
A normal new person would not be able to do.
Right. So. And in that sense, it wasn't hard work.
Mm-hmm.
You're just coasting on your previous reputation, which is what I did, which only lasts so long, because once you have you switch out a new manager or teacher or a new class, that reputation disappears.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, coasting on your previous reputation, coasting on previous hard work lasts for a while.
Right.
So that's the opposite of hard work paving the way. It's not hard work. It's more the illusion of hard work.
Yep. Yeah. No, I think that's a fair way to classify that way, that category. I would say that, you know, in my example where I got really, really lucky, and I'm still to this day very grateful, is how I landed my first job. For me, college was okay. I went by okay. I don't have the best grade. I have very good grade, but not the best grade. So I ultimately got into a big four accounting firm, which at that time, you need to be top of your class, close to 4.0, and president of this club, you know, or vice president of that club.
Extracurricular activities.
All the stuff, right? I don't have any of this. I would say probably, you know, one club, and my grades were okay. I'm not gonna say what GPA I have, but you know, what happened was that in that interview, and I'm surprised I'm even picked for the interview, I really clicked with the person that was interviewing me. What had attracted me to him was me telling him my story when I was overseas as an exchange student, and then how I sort of fail and sort of try to bounce back. That sort of gave him, I don't know, some confidence that I could rough through some challenge in right. The first year of, you know, whatever I do in my job, right? So he gave me the opportunity to do that for whatever reason, right? Because if you sort of stack my resume and my GPA, there's no way I would be hired into one of those firms at that time. But somehow he saw something in me, gave me the opportunity. And luckily enough, I did, you know, once I got in there, I did well, and you know, I didn't embarrass myself or him. But that was a true lucky moment where it's a personal connection that really got me in.
Is it a lucky break though, or is that really hard work? Because you did spend a year abroad, and I don't know what you did a year abroad, but obviously it was worthwhile, right? I mean, that effort of selecting that program could do, and actually stepping up and going abroad and then coming back from with that experience. Is that hard work? Is that?
No.
No. Was it hard?
It was not hard work. If how we frame the definition of hard work, am I sacrificing something when I'm reprioritizing over other tasks? No. At that time, my mentality going overseas was like, look, it's gonna be fun. I'm gonna go over there. I'm gonna get away from, you know, here, family, and just go out there and have fun. I'm gonna be using US dollar. I'm gonna buy a lot of stuff. That was my idea.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
When I got there, that's not the case. So I suddenly realized that academically, I was like struggling because like all of a sudden I'm being graded on a curve against all these like top of notch Asian students. I'm like, I can't even stay above
and
water.
You're an Asian student too.
I'm a banana, right? What they call it. So I could not keep up, and I actually did really poorly academically when I was overseas. That is why I didn't have a good grade. But if you strip my overseas grade, you know, I actually have. That's a different story.
It was decent, right?
Yeah,
it was decent.
The academic system here is different, but you know, that's a different story. But that was a wake up call, okay. For me, realizing. So I went there with the intention of having fun.
Right.
So it's not really hard work. Then when I go there, was I struggling? Was that hard? Yes. Did I try to come out of it? I did the best I could. I did not do well economically. Right. So I still think that was pretty lucky for me to land that first job, which set the precedent on future role, right? Because then my next employer will look at my previous work experience. Who is your company? Who did you work with?
You worked for the big four, so obviously that's automatic cachet.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So that paved the way. So that's back to your example. Well, and then I worked my butt off at that firm.
Okay, yeah.
So that's like,
see,
I can ride a tailwind.
So that's the thing,
that.
Though. So it's not always hard work paves the way. It's a lot of lucky breaks will do more than hard work in many instances.
Honestly, I would take luck over hard work all day long.
You know, I was, I don't remember when I read this. It was probably in junior high or high school. I read this book, very esoteric knowledge. Back then I'm still am very into you know, astrology and all of that. And one of the books, this paragraph always stuck, this sentence always stuck with me. It said that a man's destiny, or mankind's destiny, or any individual's destiny,
right,
is actually controlled 40% by fate, 40% by environment, 10% luck, and then 10% is internal control. So that means we individually each only have 10% influence into what our path is actually going to be. When I first read that, my initial response was, no way, that's ridiculous.
I think that's going overboard. So, I believe that statement, but I think the allocation of those percentage may be off whack.
So here's the thing. When I first read it, my initial response was the same way. Maybe because I think also it's because when I read it, I was pretty young. So I read it and I thought, no way. There's no way these percentages are correct, because I believe if I struggle hard, if I learn hard, I have a major influence on my destiny and my path. If I wanted to be a lawyer, I can study and study and study and I'll be a lawyer. If I want to be a doctor, I can study, study and study and I'll be a doctor.
And that is true. I think you can. Now, whether you be a successful doctor or not, that's a different story.
But to be honest, as I got older, I began to believe it more and more. Because as I got older, that belief that if I study really hard and I'll get to pick any of these paths, I began to realize that's actually not true in most cases. And that the environment and also, you know, a sense of fate, not really fate, but I think more the environment affects you more than you actually realize.
I mean, just thinking about you, that statement that you just made, right? 40% environment, 10% luck. So what, I mean, to me, those are the same thing, right?
Is it?
Yeah, your environment is, I mean, look, if you happen to be in that, Let's say you happen to be at a ballpark and someone dropped $100 and you're right there at that moment. You know that person's gone. You pick that. So that's, is that luck or is that the environment? That's the same thing, right?
That's luck, I would think, because
you're in that environment.
then you're lumping. I don't see that as part of your environment. I think the environment, because generally within environment, when you
social class.
No, not necessarily. So let's take your example, right?
Right.
The ballpark. Generally, in the environment, nobody drops money. They drop a ball. They you know, whatever they do is related to that environment. The fact that that's something completely different or out of the norm, somebody dropped money in the ballpark, that's out of the norm.
Well, I can make the argument that at a public area, people lose stuff all the time, right?
Lose stuff all the time, but is it a norm that you're the one who always picks up that stuff? No, I don't think so.
No.
Yeah. So the environment is whatever is normal setting, right?
Right.
And luck is whatever changes that normal. Luck, for instance, my grade in philosophy class.
Yeah.
The normal setting is everybody gets the grade on the electronic system. The luck is something that happens that usually never happens, is they mixed up the grade and I got an A versus the fail that I really deserved.
Right.
Right. So as far as I'm concerned, environment is whatever the setting is around you and the normal setting around you. Luck is when that setting changes for your benefit without any logical reason. Like your baseball park, that's your normal setting. You would probably get a ball or meet other people.
So to put in perspective, right? You know, if you grew up in a family where your mom and dad are doctors, then you're in an environment where you can highlight in the medical field.
Right, because your environment, the standard environment is your mom and dad or doctors, they have the knowledge, they can teach you and they'll help you along your way,
right?
Versus luck is your mom and dad are construction workers,
right?
And all of a sudden you go to visit them in the construction yard and they happen to be building a house for a doctor. And that doctor takes a liking to you because you visit them during lunch and they teach you, you know, also the medical school and help you out throughout your medical life or whatever. That part, I think, is also, you know, partly luck because it's outside the norm of what your environment usually is.
Okay.
But anyway, that's my definition of it. Back to my original point,
right,
before we sidetrack, was as I grew older, I actually began to see how true that statement is, because environment and maybe even destiny has a very, very large impact on how your life would turn out, right? Because we talk about in schools, yeah, I have a lot more control. I can study it because the environment is pretty much right. set, and I have a lot more control on what
happens. Yeah, in general, as you're younger, your environment are more control and contained, right? As you grow older, you don't have that control,
so it's harder. Let me give you an example. When I was going to junior high, when I graduated elementary school, and then we go to junior high, most everybody from Yates went to Nightingale,
right?
Because that's everybody just feeds right into that. I actually didn't want to go to Nightingale. I wanted to go to a special magnet school somewhere else. And I did, you know, after graduation from grade school, I did all the paperwork, submitted it, application, everything else, and I got in, and they accepted me. In fact, most of the teachers that I was going to have at this magnet school called me up, and we discussed the classes I should take, and I had my whole schedule planned out, everything ready to go.
Yeah.
But then, they then let me know where I should wait for the school bus that would be coming to pick me up.
Right.
And it turns out that school bus stop was, I forget how far it was, but it was maybe 10, 12 blocks away from my home.
10, 12 blocks?
Blocks away from my home. And the pickup time was 6 a.m. in the morning, like 6:10 or something like that.
Okay.
And I realized, you know what, I can't possibly get there by 6:10 unless every day I was willing to wake up about like 5 and walk over there, you know, before the sun even came up. So I started to call the school and the LAUSD district and calling everywhere to kind of see if they could move the bus stop closer to pick me up. And they couldn't. For whatever reason, they could not. So I had to give up going to that school.
Because you didn't want to wake up earlier.
Well, the way I saw it, at least at that time, was I couldn't, the distance was too far and I didn't have any control over that distance. And so I had to go to Nightingale instead, where the bus stop was literally across the street.
Okay, so I think that's a great story. And I think that's a perfect example where you could have done the hard work.
Right.
Which means we prioritizing your sleep, wake up earlier, do the hard work, walk 10 blocks, which is nothing.
Exactly. Here's the thing, right? When I was making these phone calls and trying to get the bus closer, right. I was probably, you know, when we graduated sixth grade, how old was I? Probably 11, 12, somewhere around there?
Yeah, around 12, 13.
Yeah, 12, 13, around that age, right? For me at that age, I felt that it was really far. Really far, and I couldn't, you know, get up that early to walk there, and it was, and I made all sorts of excuses in my mind that it was really far. I couldn't go there. Here's the strange thing is, I mean, now that I'm older, I know that's not far at all. But here's the thing is, when I go ahead and gave that up and decided to go to Nightingale, I didn't take the bus as often as I thought. I walked to Nightingale, which was
much farther.
Yeah,
like more than 10 blocks.
Yeah, more than like three, four times.
Oh, I walked that half many times.
Yeah, three, four times. Longer distance than that bus stop.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't know what it was, but in my mind, I didn't want to do that for that 10 blocks.
Right.
And yet, when it came down to it, I spent more than 10 blocks on the walking distance. So I gave up this kind of like, you know, waking up early, you know, this long distance walk to go to this kind of what would have been comparatively a more mediocre school compared to this super magnet school that I originally wanted to go to. So there's this example. I don't know what I was trying to demonstrate with that example, but
well, I think that demonstrate a couple of things, right? That demonstrate, well, is it really at that age? I mean, obviously, I'm not saying that you made a bad decision, but I think most of us at that age were pretty immature and can't really decide. And there's especially in our situation where there's no counselor, there's not really a mentor, even our parents are there, but they can't really help us to sort of guide us through those kind of decisions because you're making the phone call yourself, right?
Yeah.
Rather than them. So would that be like you not willing to put in the hard work, or would that mean that, you know, going back to an example, you are, you know,
controlled by my environment?
My environment.
When I was that age, I blamed it on the environment. Why couldn't they move that bus stop closer to me, right? There are other buses. I've seen other school buses stopping right in front, like within a block of my home. Why couldn't they move that? But as I got older, and now when I'm looking back, why didn't I just wake up early and walk the distance? It wasn't that far.
10 blocks is not, compared to your walk to 9 hours.
Yeah, it's not very far. Even now, when I need to go to downtown for work or whatever, I walk that distance just to get to the train or whatnot. Right. So when I was younger, it seemed like too much hard work and I didn't want to put in that effort, but I blamed it on the environment. Now that I'm older and maybe, you know, maybe potentially a little bit wiser, I see that it wasn't the environment. I was just being a little bit lazy. So I guess my original point is this hard work bit. Yeah. You know, sometimes you skip over it without even realizing it because you think you're blaming hard work on something else.
Well, yeah. So I guess it answers a couple of points, but it doesn't really answer the question, you know, does hard work pave the way? It basically asks the question, you know,
does hard work pave the way, right? So if I had done the work,
we don't know. Well, what we know is that it would be a different school, and that school probably would have a better reputation,
right?
And that school will probably get you to a better school. I'm just hypothetical.
Right. Yeah, we're guessing.
Yeah, and then that'll probably get you to a better college, or you know, it could stimulate your mind to really not dislike school when you're in college. I don't know.
So
that doesn't help answer the question, but it does help illustrate that hard work, that, you know, sometimes you can't really...
I think what it illustrates is that sometimes we push away hard work and blame other factors when facing hard work,
right?
So a lot of times we may actually end up with a better life had we done the hard work, but we tend to push that away. We tend to, you know, ignore that.
Which circles back to the point that I want to make at the very beginning is that hard work does not necessarily translate into success, but without hard work, you would less likely or not likely to be successful.
Right.
Like going back to my example, when I got into my first job, the accounting firm, you know, I was very happy to be there. I know I was probably not the highest smartest kid in that class, but I would say that, and I'm proud to say that, I probably worked my butt off, worked harder than any one of those guys in my class in the first class, and you know, people take notice of that, right? So, and I was able to land my second job. My second job was hired by my former manager from my first job, and I don't know, I was in my mid-20s. My second job, I was actually getting a, you know, very well paid. I got there by luck, but it's hard work that translate into that success. So if I got into a place and thinking that, oh, you know what, now that I'm here, I could just leverage out the brand name and maybe land another job elsewhere. I don't think that would happen. I think it was because I put in those work. My manager noticed it, and when she left to do another firm, she called me with that offer. Had that not happened, have not put in those hours, I don't think I would be able to leverage that name to get a good job.
So I agree in that, you know, hard work is a necessary component, but it doesn't always necessarily lead to success.
Correct.
Because I've seen many of my colleagues, and probably even myself sometimes, where I put in the work, or my colleagues put in the work, but they're bypassed for the promotion, or they're bypassed for the raise, right? For whatever reason. I think part of the issue with that is that we don't work in a perfect system, right?
Right.
We have bosses who are pricks and managers. Not my bosses. My bosses were great.
We shall have an episode that talk about bosses. Different type of bosses that we face. Right.
That would actually make a great episode. I've got plenty of stories for that. But anyway, yes. And back to my original point is that it's not a perfect system. It's not everybody claims that it's a perfect, you know, merit-based system. And if you work hard and you do well and you demonstrate you're smart enough, then you'll move forward, right? You'll have promotions, you'll have raises, and you'll move in your career. But that's just not the case because it's not a perfect system. It's not a merit-based system. Sometimes it's a social system. You happen to know the big boss and he likes you. You know, looks for opportunity for you to actually move forward, whether or not you're actually capable of it. So, yeah, I mean, all of this is to say, does hard work pave the way? I don't think it's a default. Hard work does not automatically equal success, but hard work does give you a greater chance of success.
And it seems like we're drawing the same conclusion here. So how we say dissect what the question is and what is hard work, what is success. We seem to be drawing the same conclusion. There's no set answer.
Right.
But there's definitely a understanding that, dude, if we don't work your butt off, your chances of getting to a place or removing those three constraints were less likely to happen.
Right.
Versus that if you...
It's entirely possible if you have major luck, like I did sometimes. But
hey, if you hit the lottery...
Yeah, then there you go, right?
Right. But, so what are the chances?
But generally speaking, hard work is actually part of the package most of the time.
Well, I hope our listener will find our thought process, our stories interesting. But we're beginning to run out of time. Any closing remark, Andrew?
No, nothing really. I mean, hey, if you disagree, let me know how you disagree and why. Maybe, here's the thing. Maybe most listeners will actually disagree with our definition of success or definition of hard work in general. But hit us up, let us know. Maybe you'll enlighten us in many ways.
Great. Well, thank you for joining us. And until next time, we have Andrew and Derek signing off.
Take care.
Bye.